It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
All right, that was the State of the Union address, but oh, not last night's State of the Union address. Sandy Rios with you in the morning. That was President Bill Clinton at the State of the Union address back in the 90s when he was president. And you will be interested to know that when he made that speech, the Democrats stood and cheered him. Barbara Jordan, who was leading the charge on that on the immigration plan, was a black member of Congress. My, how things have changed. Because last night, the Democrats even booed when the president talked about his immigration proposals. And we'll get into that. I want to talk about the immigration proposals in more detail. I have to say right up front, I understand what he's trying to do. I really, really strongly object to the legalization of 1.8 million people because it won't end there. It just won't. In fact, I'll give you a stat. If it's 1.8 million that he wants to legalize, it's going to morph into at the current level of immigration, even without amnesty, we'll add nearly 15 million new potential voters by 2036, a large share of whom will favor the left. Add to that amnesty for 1.8 million mostly Mexican and Central American DACA beneficiaries, and you have a formula that will make Republicans a permanent minority party and limited government constitutional conservatism a soon-to-be-extinct philosophy of government. In other words, the United States of America will turn into California. It will. This hasn't anything to do with race. It has to do with people's experience, their expectation of government, their lack of understanding of our Constitution, of personal responsibility, and on it goes. And so I just wanted to make that clear because that was Bill Clinton speaking a number of years ago. But there's a lot to say about the address last night. The president, from my perspective, gave a wonderful speech. It was an hour and 20 minutes long, and usually when we sit through these things, you know, our eyes glaze over and it's boring, but it was not boring. But it wasn't boring because he was flamboyant, as he often is, or making jokes, because he was actually very somber, very subdued, the most I've ever seen him, certainly for an hour and 20 minutes. And yet he managed to make the speech compelling because it was compelling. He gave story after story. He intertwined the stories of the people in the balcony, sitting with his wife. He told their stories in and out, weaving them in the midst of the speech. It really was an excellent speech. I have a lot to say about it, but I thought, you know, before I let me paint a picture before I start, let you hear an overview of the speech. Melania when she came into the balcony, she received tremendous applause. She was wearing a, you know, she's gorgeous. She was wearing a beautiful white suit. And some may not have noticed that that was in contrast to members of the Democratic caucus women who wore black. They decided to wear black. Melania wore white. I thought Melania looked subdued herself, maybe down, you know, maybe weighed down with the burden of it all. She lit up like a Christmas tree when the young boy sitting next to her was recognized by her husband for laying wreaths on the graves of, I think, some 40,000 soldiers. He started a process in the Northeast somewhere. This kid noticed that graves were being neglected, and so he started a project to change that, and he beamed as he was recognized. And Melania then, that was the first time you really saw her beam, and I was happy to see that. The president, again, spoke for an hour and 20 minutes. He received tons of applause, but not from the Democrats, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. The Democrats set, it was amazing when he talked about that black unemployment was at record lows ever, the lowest ever. The black Democratic caucus just set, no cheering, nothing. When he said Hispanic unemployment was the lowest ever, the Hispanic members of at least a few of them, I'm sure the camera didn't pan all of them, but the ones that we saw just sat quietly, would not respond. When the president said, "We are one nation under God," they sat, no response. And when they chanted, "USA, USA," at least some people in the chamber were chanting that, because at one point they just couldn't stop themselves because of what the president had said. Luis Gutierrez, Mr. Socialist Communist from Chicago, got up and walked out. You might not know, but Nancy Pelosi had warned Democrats not to leave, not to disrupt, not to make noise. At one point, when the president said that he was going to limit chain migration to parents and minor children, there was booing. But Nancy Pelosi raised up her arm to tell him to stop booing. So this is kind of the reaction. That's the kind of reaction that the Democrats gave. So I want you to hear, this is a great little montage that Fox News prepared that gives you actually a synopsis of the whole speech in about 4 minutes. So we're going to listen to it, and then I'm going to give you some more of my analysis of what I saw and heard last night, and then I'm going to open the phone lines. So that's the way it's going to go. Let's listen to this. This is kind of the president's speech last night.
Let's begin tonight by recognizing that the state of our union is strong. Since the election, we have created 2.4 million new jobs. Small business confidence is at an all-time high. The stock market has smashed one record after another. In April, this will be the last time you will ever file under the old and very broken system. And millions of Americans will have more take-home pay starting next month. We repealed the core of the disastrous Obamacare. The individual mandate is now gone. Houston's reverence for those who have served our nation reminds us of why we salute our flag, why we put our hands on our hearts for the Pledge of Allegiance, and why we proudly stand for the national anthem. The era of economic surrender is totally over. From now on, we expect trading relationships to be fair and, very importantly, reciprocal. Tonight, I'm calling on Congress to produce a bill that generates at least $1.5 trillion for the new infrastructure investment that our country so desperately needs. Tonight I am calling on Congress to finally close the deadly loopholes that have allowed MS-13 and other criminal gangs to break into our country. We have proposed new legislation that will fix our immigration laws and support our ICE and Border Patrol agents. I am extending an open hand to work with members of both parties, Democrats and Republicans, to protect our citizens of every background, color, religion, and creed.
All right, that's the first part of it. That was about 2 minutes, and I want you to hear the rest of it before we talk. In case for some reason you didn't see it, I hope you did. I hope you tuned in. So let's listen to the next part of Fox's montage of the president's speech.
The sacred duty of every elected official in this chamber is to defend Americans, to protect their safety, their families, their communities, and their right to the American dream. Because Americans are dreamers too. We know that weakness is the surest path to conflict, and unmatched power is the surest means to our true and great defense. For this reason, I am asking Congress to end the dangerous defense sequester and fully fund our great military. We must modernize and rebuild our nuclear arsenal, hopefully never having to use it, but making it so strong and so powerful that it will deter any acts of aggression. We just signed, prior to walking in, an order directing Secretary Mattis to re-examine our military detention policy and to keep open the detention facilities in Guantanamo Bay. We need only look at the depraved character of the North Korean regime to understand the nature of the nuclear threat it could pose to America and to our allies. Yeah. Tonight, we pledge to honor Otto's memory with total American resolve. But we should never, ever forget. The people dreamed this country. The people built this country. And it's the people who are making America great again.
All right, that was the president's. That's a synopsis that Fox provided. It was actually excellent. I wanted you to hear it, but of course, there's a lot more blanks to fill in. He said a number of wonderful things. I want to give you a few more observations about what I saw last night. Remember, I talked about the Dems not responding. Remember, it's resistance. It's resist. And of course, it's supposed to be, you know, it was a term that was used against the Nazis. And so they're trying to make it seem lofty, but it's not lofty at all. When they refuse to respond, even when he says we need to protect our citizens or we are one nation under God or it's America first, it's pretty stunning. It really is. And it kind of showed us really how radical they are. And along with that, many of them, I think 30 of them, plan to bring illegal immigrants into the chambers last night. Now, Congressman Paul Gosar from Arizona actually contacted the Capitol Police and also the Justice Department and asked that they arrest those using fraudulent Social Security numbers and identification to pass through security. Well, the response of the Democratic members of Congress was that this was outrageous, disgusting. I could read you their comments and give you their names, but you understand, heartless and cruel. That's what they say. Can you imagine? This is the chamber where our Supreme Court justices, our senators, our congressmen, our president, the Speaker of the House, all the members of cabinet, only a few people stayed back, all gathering in one place, and you are actually advocating entering, letting people in and enter into the chamber who have no legal identification, who are here illegally. Just think of the irrationality of that. And so there was one member, Kirsten Gillibrand, who brought Carmen Julia Cruz, who is, by the way, an outspoken communist supporter of the Castro regime. That's the kind of people that the Democrats seem to want into that chamber for this very American occasion with all of our leaders gathered in one chamber. What are they thinking? Well, I have to tell you, they're on the other side. They're not on our side. This is not Republican versus Democrat. This is people who love this country versus people who want to undermine and destroy it. You have to get that in your heads because that's exactly what's happening. All right, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Did you see it last night? Do you have a comment? Something you saw, something you'd like to share? Let's talk. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Attention all Christians who believe that America needs a spiritual revival, an awakening, a message of the gospel for our times. This is Alex McFarland encouraging you to attend the 2018 edition of Truth for a New Generation. This is a conference with the theme, Save a Nation. And on March 23-24 in Greensboro, North Carolina, you will hear an amazing lineup of speakers, including Josh McDowell, apologist J. Warner Wallace, Lauren Green and Todd Starnes from Fox News, attorney Abe Hamilton III of the American Family Association, music by the bands and orchestra from North Greenville University, and much, much more. Sessions for all ages, equipping you to share your faith confidently in any situation. Visit truthforanewgeneration.com. That's March 23-24, TNG 2018. You can find it at truthforanewgeneration.com.
Presented in part by the American Family Association.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Please stand. That was the polite and simple message of an ad developed by the veterans group AmVets for the upcoming Super Bowl, a general request to honor our nation's flag. The NFL had invited AmVets to place an ad, but then rejected the message, please stand, as too political. How ironic when last year's Super Bowl had several blatantly liberal political ads. As AmVets National Commander Marion Polk wrote to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, quoting, freedom of speech works both ways. We respect the rights of those who choose to protest, as these rights are precisely what our members have fought and in many cases died for. But to deny that same right to those veterans who have secured it for us all is reprehensible, unquote. Express your outrage to NFL Commissioner Goodell by calling 212-450-2000. That's 212-450-2000. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TME. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TME. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Broward College in Florida is at the center of a debate over the American flag and the Constitution. An art professor covered the flag in white paint, cut it in half, and laid it on the ground, encouraged patrons to step on the flag, all part of a faculty art installation at the taxpayer-funded college. Jess Karcher, a Marine veteran and a student at the school, fired off a complaint letter to administrators. He said a lot of his brother and sister Marines were buried with that same flag on their casket. But Broward College dismissed his concerns. In a statement, the school said they understand the artwork is provocative, but it's also protected by the constitutional rights of the artist, freedom of speech, freedom of expression. The same constitutional rights, I am sure, Broward College will cite when a faculty member burns a copy of the Quran or dips an Islamic flag in white paint. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
We eliminated an especially cruel tax that fell mostly on Americans making less than $50,000 a year, forcing them to pay tremendous penalties simply because they couldn't afford government-ordered health plans. We repealed the core of the disastrous Obamacare. The individual mandate is now gone. Thank you. We slashed the business tax rate from 35% all the way down to 21%. So American companies can compete and win against anyone else, anywhere in the world. These changes alone are estimated to increase average family income by more than $4,000. A lot of money. Small businesses have also received a massive tax cut and can now deduct 20%
of their business income.
All right, that was the president just talking a little bit about the economic achievements, which really are amazing. They really are amazing. Now, let me just caution, because, look, it's more than money that matters. Certainly, we are relieved that there seems to be sort of a resurgence of our economy, that we may have more money in our pockets, that we maybe don't have to worry the way we were worrying. I was worrying about our future economically. And I don't think that's wrong to do. As Christians, we have concerns, but we cannot allow ourselves to be have our concerns, our other concerns about moral issues, about what's going on in other areas, whether it's the military or immigration or marriage or sanctity of life, the rest of it. We cannot sacrifice those issues because our pocketbooks are stronger and we don't worry as much. And that's human nature. It seems like that's what we gravitate to. So I just issue that to tell you always as a litmus test, make sure you're watching all the other issues. I have to say that President Trump so far, with the exception of what I've talked about the amnesty, which I am concerned about, has embraced the moral issues, has embraced, he mentioned God so much last night in a very natural way, even in the stories that he told, which I hope to have time to play a little bit. In fact, I'll give you one just right now. This was a couple who, two couples, who lost their daughters, who were friends, when they were murdered by MS-13 gang members. I want you to hear how the president tells the story. And if you didn't see it, it was such a moving moment. The father of one of the girls had so much trouble composing himself. The grief on their faces was so apparent. It was very moving. Let's listen.
Here tonight are two fathers and two mothers, Evelyn Rodriguez, Freddie Cuevas, Elizabeth Alvarado, and Robert Mickens. Their two teenage daughters, Kayla Cuevas and Nisa Mickens, were close friends on Long Island. But in September 2016, on the eve of Nisa's 16th birthday, such a happy time it should have been, neither of them came home. These two precious girls were brutally murdered while walking together in their hometown. Six members of the savage MS-13 gang have been charged with Kayla and Nisa's murders. Many of these gang members took advantage of glaring loopholes in our laws to enter the country as illegal, unaccompanied, alien minors and wound up in Kayla and Nisa's high school. Evelyn, Elizabeth, Freddie, and Robert, tonight everyone in this chamber is praying for you. Everyone in America is grieving for you. Please stand. Thank you very much.
All right. So, and he goes on to say again that we are all praying for you. And so there were many moving moments, but that was one of them. All right. Let me go to the phones because if you watched it, you have a lot to say too, and I want to hear it. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Fred in West Virginia. Good morning, Fred.
Hi, Sandy. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. What did you think, Fred?
Well, my first comment is green money matters. And I like what he did with the taxes. But my main concern was what I didn't hear, I would like to have heard, was for the president to insert in his speech that speech you aired from Bill Clinton. And then listen to the Democrats boo him and then tell them where it came from.
That would have been great. You're right. Maybe next year or maybe in a subsequent speech, he'll do that, Fred. Wasn't that something to hear Bill Clinton lay that out? Even a more strict policy than President Trump did last night?
Yeah, it's. But then we often get. Well, not often. Sometimes we get to hear something that a politician said that he doesn't want to have repeated.
Yeah, no, that's true. And, you know, this was also true of of Bill Clinton on many other issues, and also John Kennedy. John Kennedy was so conservative. When you hear his speeches, he sounds so conservative to our ears compared to the Democrats now. It really, it is an amazing thing. It's very gives us a lot of insight. And it also is a wake-up call and a reminder, especially, I think, maybe for Democrats. My parents were Democrats. They later became Republicans, but early on they were Democrats. And that's when, in an age when I think Democrats and Republicans all were patriots. They just had a different view about how the country should be run. That ship left the harbor, because right now we have the Democratic Party populated by leftists who do not want what's good for this country. And if it wasn't apparent last night, I don't know when it will be. Fred, I appreciate your comments. Royce in Arkansas, good morning.
Well, good morning. And let me tell you, I listened to a president that stood tall last night. I wasn't a strong Trump supporter. I did finally vote for him, but he has done well and far beyond already what I anticipated. And when I listened to him last night, I remember with John Wayne, I used to want John Wayne for president. I think I might have seen a little bit of that last night.
This is a man that
stood tall.
Anything in particular grab you, I mean, substance-wise?
I think probably pretty much the manner with which he stood and made his delivery, his compassion. He has, I think, a grasp and understanding of things that in many ways goes beyond people's ability to be educated into it. He has an intuition that moves him into areas that some of us never seem to get to. That came out last night. He was able to point to things that I think causes people to stop and to pause and give consideration. And to see the Democrats do him the way they did last night reminds me that no matter how bad a Republican, progressive, or otherwise may be, anybody that would think of voting for a Democrat right now, they need to go find them a good psychiatrist. He most certainly showed us last night that he is a man that is capable walking with and following like he is, because I think God is actually holding his hand. I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but I do believe firmly that God has a hold of this man and he is moving him the way he wants him to go.
Yeah, interesting, Royce, because I always reflect on when candidate Trump was campaigning. He was full of bluster and braggadociousness, and he still is. That comes out still. But not so much. It seems that he is tempered. I don't remember him ever invoking the name of God. And last night when he was identifying the North Korean defector, which that's a great story. I hope we have time to play that clip. He talked about... He inserted the fact that the defector was asked by the authorities if he'd met a Christian. And he said that was the turning point for him. And that is a big part of what's happening in North Korea, but other presidents wouldn't mention that. And so we're one nation under God, he said. He told the couples who had lost their daughters, we are praying for you. He said at the end, if we continue to honor God, we will be blessed, or something to that effect. I'm not by any means giving all the inferences he made to God, but they were natural. And I agree with you, Royce. That doesn't mean that everything he does or says is going to reflect the mind of Christ or spirit, but it does sort of indicate a change in a man's heart, which is what I'm watching too. Royce, thanks. Well said. I like that phrase when he said he seems to have an intuition. It gives him an insight into things that some of us, places where we don't go. I agree with that. I think his intuition, I think his intuition has been good for a long time. There are clips of him, when he was younger and talking about that he did not like abortion. He supported it, but he did not like it. He also indicated on early clips that he thought marriage should be between one man and one woman. And this is when that was really radical in New York City. He had a lot of bad positions on things, too. But it seems that his intuition was good. I think he was raised in a church environment. I don't know how faithfully they attended, but he certainly had some contact with it. And that does help formulate our views. Winston Churchill was kind of like that, too. But anyway, I want to get back to your phone calls. I could go on and on. 888-589-8840. Nancy in Alabama, good morning.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for all you do on a daily basis to spread God's word and the truth of what's going on in our nation's capital. I really believe that Donald Trump is like an Esther in the Old Testament, where God has put him in this place for such a time as this to get our nation back to where it needs to be.
Well, you may be right about that, Nancy, and we'll find out in the long term. Meanwhile, we watch and try to discern as we walk along in this. Thank you. Let's go to Tim in Texas.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, Tim. What did you think?
Well, you know, I saw actually a lot more in maybe what wasn't said last night. Full disclosure, I'm on the Trump train, have been since 2016, super excited about his election. But anybody out there who is worried or has any questions about what's going to happen in 2018 and 2020 could see everything they needed to see by the Democratic Party last night. They weren't in unison. They had no plan going in there. Halfway through the speech, I mean, they focused on Chuck Schumer. He was trying to clap, looking around, seeing if Nancy was looking at him. They weren't together. And all they did was show the country how untogether they actually are. And how could anybody negotiate with that? I think the president came out as the adult in the room. He's the true American, the true patriot, and the Democrats have aligned themselves with anything that's not that. And so I thought last night was great. The speech was wonderful, but even better was the fact that they are going to lose so big in 2018 and 2020.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, there's beginning to be a crack in that those predictions that the Democrats are going to run away with the House and maybe take the Senate back, too. Because of polling, it looks like the Trump supporters are holding fast. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but my recollection is that Trump supporters are holding fast in their support, that Republicans are actually, their percentages of supporting Trump are really high, too. It's the independents who had fallen off by maybe double digits. And so we'll see. You know, I'm sure they'll do a million polls today to find out after the speech, you know, if there's any difference that has been made. But we'll be watching that. Tim, thanks. Appreciate your comments. Let's go to Todd in Louisiana. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, morning, Sandy. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
If you as an American didn't enjoy the State of the Union, you're not a patriot. And my comment is that the Democrats seem to go on side with the illegals when Trump is for America. And if you're not for America, why don't you get out of this country? I mean, if we're going to keep dividing this nation, we're never going to be the United States of America. We need to come together. And I don't know if the Democrats are going to come on board. And one more thing, Sandy. The reason why Obama won this presidency is because a lot of Republicans voted for him. But last night, Trump showed that he's going to get a lot of Trump supporters. I mean, a lot of Republican support. So have a good
yeah.
day.
Interesting. Thanks a lot, Todd. Appreciate your comments. Remember, let me repeat that when the chamber, at least some of the chamber, and they were a very loud group chanting USA, Luis Gutierrez actually got up and walked out. Now, what kind of an American member of Congress would be offended by a chant about their country, USA, USA? Because it's because he does not have America's interests at heart. And trust me, if Nancy Pelosi had not threatened other members of the caucus, of the Democratic caucus, many of them would have walked out. And when it comes to illegal immigrants, Todd is right. Their loyalties are to people who are here illegally. Explain that to me, somebody, in any possible positive way. I don't think you can. We're going to come back with the phones in just a second. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Last night was the President's State of the Union address. I hope you watched it. If you didn't, you know you can find it online, and I hope that you'll take time to just watch it because he said so many things. He talked about doing away with those terrible rules of engagement that were hampering our soldiers in Afghanistan. He talked about beefing up our nuclear weaponry, which, trust me, is a very serious problem. It is pretty much atrophied while being been twiddling our thumbs. We think we have great nuclear power, but my understanding is not so much. And so there were many things in that speech that we won't get to, but they were very important to make this country safe and put America back on course. This is Sandy Rios in the Morning. Be right back.
of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. It will be interesting to see what the 2020 census will look like, as it will result in a reapportion of the nation's congressional districts and electoral votes. United Van Lines, the well-known national moving company, has released new data that shows the states with the most people packing up and heading for greener pastures seem to be the ones with the highest taxes. That trend will likely continue as high tax state residents will finally pay their full share in 2018.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
So who is responsible for the dysfunction in Washington? That's what we're going to be discussing today.
We have become one of the most litigious societies on the planet.
The goal of this show is to bring clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C., and to expose the deception that has plagued our nation's capital for decades.
Exposing Washington.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central.
On American Family Radio.
If we're talking about a president who is attacking the free press for being free, for being able to write critical things about the government, attacking that kind of free press for that reason would be outrageous, but that's not what's going on here.
Catch Janet Mefford live.
Much of the media, CNN, for example, can rightly be painted as a tool of the DNC, propagandizing and lying to the American people.
Weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Is that a wonderful press, or is that a press that needs to be rightly criticized for not doing its job?
Dr. Carl Truman, from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
One of the things that a pastor has to do on a Sunday when he gets up in the pulpit is let people know that the reading and the exposition of Scripture is the most important thing that's going to happen to them that week. If the pastor has not communicated to his people with the very first sentence that comes out of his mouth on a Sunday morning that this is the most important thing you're going to hear that week, the pastor has failed in his job. Secondly, the pastor needs to preach in a way that helps people to read the Bible for themselves. Now, to clarify that, the purpose of preaching is not primarily to help people read the Bible for themselves. It's to expound Scripture and to confront them with the call of God on their lives. But a byproduct of that should be helping people to handle the Word of God responsibly for themselves.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Donald Trump's first State of the Union address was a love letter to America, delivered by a man unafraid to declare his patriotism and why this great country is worth protecting from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Who will ever forget the image of another man who loves liberty, waving his crutches, symbols of the repression in North Korea from which he is now gratefully freed? The other unforgettable takeaway was the repeated image of partisan Democrats refusing to join in ovations for one after another of the principles, practices, and symbols of patriotic Americans. The battle lines for this fall's elections have been drawn. We have to pray for the good of the country that the loyal opposition will decide it is loyal and not simply the representatives of those who insist that our country's constitution, electorate, and values must be fundamentally transformed. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And our dreamers, you are here to stay. We will not rest. We will not stop. This will not end except happily for our dreamers. They are inspiration.
And the State of the Union is better because of the dreamers. The State of the Union will be brighter in the future if we make the right decision for dreamers.
Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, leaders of the Democratic Party, official leaders, you know, putting the dreamers, you know, they're wonderful, you see. The MS-13 members who were dreamers who killed the two girls of the parents sitting in the balcony, I guess maybe they were dreamers too. You see how bizarre this gets? They don't want any kind of discernment. They don't want any kind of merit-based immigration. They boo that. They don't want to stop chain migration where immigrants coming in can bring in endless amounts of family. I mean, down to third cousins and fourth cousins. I mean, it's just an endless chain. That's why they call it chain migration. They're against, you know, limiting any of that. It's just think about it. Just think about it. When you go to the polls and recognize that, honestly, the Democrats are unified on that issue, and it's very dangerous to the foundations of this country. Let me just interject that The God Who Speaks is this wonderful new video it's actually a film that the American Family Studios has produced. You've been hearing us talk about it, but it's available for the first time. You can actually purchase it. If you go to thegodwhospeaks.org, thegodwhospeaks.org, you can see the trailer and you can also order it. So thegodwhospeaks.org is the reference for that. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. For those of you that watched that speech last night, I really want to hear what you thought about it. Let's go to Ollie in Alabama. Good morning, Ollie.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Go ahead.
Oh, I don't think I said anything, but no, it's on you, Ollie.
Thank you for taking my call. And on first of all, I wasn't a Trump supporter to begin with, but I am now. I did vote for him as a Republican nomination. But last night, it's really sad that the Democrats acted like they did. And really, what really got me was that when he was talking about the unemployment rate for African-Americans and Hispanics, that they all sit on their hands, didn't clap. And you would thought that the Black Caucus of the Congress would have applauded that, you know, because with the unemployment rate being so low for everybody in the last 8 years and the economy being so bad. And if people want to know how things are going, keep a check on the stock market. That tells you how things are going. But and another thing with immigration, got no problem with anybody coming here. Got two cousins, both of them married Asian ladies. First thing they did when they come here, they applied for citizenship. That's the way it should be done. That's our law. And they should be self-sustaining, not depending on the government and our tax money. And right. For Nancy Pelosi, that $1,000 crumb she talks about, that's three or four loaves of bread for me.
That's the three or four loaves of bread for a lot of other people, too. Ollie,
yeah.
Thanks. Thanks. I appreciate your comments. You know, one observation that he's making that I want to take further. You can see, look, if we have to talk about race, Black Americans, white Americans, I wish we would get past that. I really do. But since we're not past it, I would have to say to Black voters listening and watching last night, did that not tell you volumes about the Black caucus? When we have record low unemployment rates for Black Americans, isn't that something to rejoice in? And when the Black caucus sits there and does nothing, does that not tell you that they don't really care? That they're using the issues of the Black community as something to help them get elected, but that it's something else is motivating them? What could it be? I would also point out to National Organization for Women and so-called feminists. When it comes to women's issues, they boast and they preen and they talk about how they're defending women. But when it actually comes to defending women, not so much. What's going on here? I have to tell you that they are, what's going on here, at least by the leadership, not that everyone has figured this out, is a move to take power and to promote leftist principles, which are abhorrent to most Americans. And have nothing to do with, helping the downtrodden. You fill in the blank who that might be. Really, it doesn't. They are elitists of all colors and races. They are in power, and that's what they want to keep. Their power, they want to subjugate the rest of us to their will. And there's not a dedication to your needs as a people group or as a designated gender. It's not there. It's all about power. And so, just to be very clear, and it maybe will make more sense to you when you see their behavior. Let's go to, I don't know. I can't see the name. It's Oklahoma. Is it Brogue? What's your name, sir? Brogan.
Good, ma'am. I'm Brogan.
Brogan, hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. What do you think?
Good. Well, you know, really, honestly, I'm just upset about hearing that he is going to legalize 1.8 billion whatever illegal citizen or illegal aliens to make them citizens. I'm not comprehending that.
Well, Brogan, I'm not either. I you heard me say, I hope, at the top of the show, that's the part that snags me. I can't get past that.
Yeah, that is upsetting me. Okay, they're dreamers, cool, but what about my kids? My kids are dreamers too. And legalizing them is going to take dreams away from my children and opportunities away from my children who were born here legally for generations upon generation upon generation, and now their opportunities are being snatched away from them because he wants to legalize these other people.
You know, Brogan, he said last night, one of his big applause lines, and it was really good, he said, Americans are dreamers too. He built the case about the founding of our country and the hard work of American people. It was beautiful, actually, eloquent part of his speech. And then he said, Americans are dreamers too, which is what, you know, we say all the time. I certainly say it, and now you have said it also. He did say when he presented it, he said this is a compromise plan that both sides should be able to embrace. And so it has things in it that both sides won't like. Now, I don't know if the president, he did tweet out a couple of days ago that this will show you that the Democrats really don't want to compromise, that they have no interest in it. I don't know if he's actually throwing that out so that we can see, as clearly as we did last night with their response to the speech, that they just want to obstruct. They want to resist. Again, it's about their power. It's not about, you know, taking care of the poor dreamers, which they keep emphasizing. They're riding the dreamers like a horse to try to take more power. And so they'll be for it or against it based on how it turns out for them. I don't know if the president is just putting that out there to, he says, he actually indicated this in a tweet. He wants to show us that the Democrats don't have any interest in compromising. And look, I'm not in favor of it, Brogan. I can't, look, this is like a chess game. And I'm not smart enough to tell you what the next play is going to be. I'm just hoping and praying that he is just using this as a chess move to demonstrate that they are not willing to do any kind of bargaining. And then he'll pull back to his position of no amnesty, because that's where he needs to be. We cannot give citizenship to 1.8 more illegal immigrants, which translates to so many more. It would be a disaster. And I think he's just trying to illustrate that he's willing. I don't know. Like I said, it's a chess game. Any further comments, Brogan?
Oh, no. That's the only thing upsetting that he's done so far to me.
Okay.
I voted for him. I was very much for him.
Yeah. But we got to hold his feet to the fire on this. He has to keep his promises. He has to keep his promises on not granting amnesty to more and to rein in immigration in a meaningful way. All right, Brogan. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Julio in Texas. Good morning, Julio. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Miss. Good morning, Miss Rios. I'm sorry, I almost called you Janet Mefford. You just call her.
Well, you know, I would be proud to be called Janet Mefford.
Hey, I think both of y'all are very, very intelligent women. I really appreciate what y'all do. I really wish I could have seen Donald Trump address abortion more. I've got a proposition for the Democrats. We can get the dreamers in, but y'all got to completely do away with abortion. I don't want to have to pay for abortion. I don't want it in my taxes. I just don't want it. I'm not for it at all. I grew up as Catholic. Now I'm not denominational. You know, I was raised to grow up, you know, that ain't right, you know. And science has proven that the baby, you know, there's just plenty of things that a baby can feel even so many days after it's born. So
Julio,
I would have liked to have seen that more.
Yeah. Well, Julio, let me just... Actually, this is a news story that I did not spend much time on this week, and I apologize for that. That 20-week pain-capable bill came up for a vote in the Senate, and that's the bill that would not allow abortion after 20 weeks because they have scientific research to demonstrate that children are feeling pain. They actually suffer. Not that we needed to be told that, but I guess some had to be told that. And so they were not able to get 60 votes in the Senate, which is... That's what they call a filibuster. They have to get 60 votes in order to just vote on the legislation. They couldn't get 60 votes. Donald Trump issued a very powerful statement about the sanctity of human life and how we must protect it. And, of course, he spoke at the March for Life in Washington. He was the first president to do that in maybe ever. I don't think even Ronald Reagan did that. So he has made some very strong pro-life statements. He's been very consistent, and he actually has put his... thrown his weight, his considerable weight, into these battles. So, on the issue of the Democrats offering them amnesty in exchange for the end of abortion, Julio, you have to understand, I know as odd as this sounds and as bizarre, abortion is like the Holy Grail for the left. There is no way in the world feminists and the Democrats who represent them would ever, ever give up abortion for anything. That is an absolute non-starter. They care more about abortion than they do any women who've been mistreated, abused, sexually assaulted. None of that matters as much as keeping the right to have an abortion. I haven't got much more time to explain that to you right now, but just when you're watching them respond, just keep that in mind. Thank you so much, Julio. Let's go to Priscilla in Texas. Good morning, Priscilla.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. Thank you for your ministry. I love you so much. Two, three comments, and I'll make them fast. My first response, Sandy, immediately when it was over, was to pray in earnest for him. Oh, my gosh, I'm so thankful for his courage. And I want to say that I was stunned by his love for American people. It's shown through the entire speech. He made a case. The entire speech was about the American people and that America would be great because of the people. He is the people's president. And I love that about him. And one final thought, Nancy Pelosi, I don't know why she even showed up. She embarrassed herself in front of America and the world. And thank you for your time this morning. Thank you for your ministry. But I just wanted to share that.
Okay, Priscilla, good, very good point. Let's go to William in Georgia. Good morning, William. You got to make it as quickly as you can. What did you think?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Ms. Sandy. I believe everything went well. I believe the president was very presidential what he said, especially with the fact that he supported those people who've been victimized by MS-13, the Warren Bier family, and all those people he had gave notice to. I think that was very some high points for him with that situation, despite how the Democrats were doing.
Yeah. Me too, William. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Let's go to Monty in Virginia. Monty, you're a veteran. What are your thoughts about the speech last night?
Well, absolutely. I got two things real quickly because we run out of time. Sandy, you're the greatest. So is Janet and all of AFR. But Donald Trump last night, if he has a mental illness, I want some of it. He was the most presidential in my 70 years of life. I've listened to almost every address. And this man is in the right place at the right time. And if American people will recognize the demise of this country, they will get behind Donald, congressmen that know and love this country. And being with special forces, it takes a special guy to do a special duty in leadership. Love, Donald. And I thank you for saying all the things you do.
Thank you, Monty. Thank you so much. Let's go to Carol. Carol, you've got about 30 seconds.
Yes, I totally go along with everything everybody else has said, but I would like to encourage people like myself who have never been politically active to get a hold of your congresspeople and tell them your feelings. If we don't get our 60 people in the Senate elected in the midterms, nothing's going to change because we can't get anything done. They're going to stop everything that Donald Trump wants to do. I raise him up in prayer every day and just keep him encouraged to, you know, fight the fight for all of us out here.
Carol, very well said. Wonderful ending to the show. No question about it. Pray for President Trump. Pray for his wife, Melania, and their family. Pray that God would continue to work and transform their lives personally, and to work through him as president to preserve this nation and restore the moral fiber that has so been decayed. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.